Okay.
Okay.
Live from Mobile, it is the Saddle Up Show with Shy and Destin, the first ever show in person. Hi, Destin.
Hi, I mean, this is gonna be weird. Our audio is gonna sound the exact same.
I know.
We don't have to worry about me getting like muted anywhere near this. Like, we don't have to worry about any of that. We're on the same system.
This feels a bit surreal, the fact that we're finally getting to work together after we've been working together for 2 years.
Roughly 2 years, I think a little less, but roughly 2 years.
Yeah, I think we're approaching 2 years, coming up in that April, May area sometime. But man, how you doing? Well, I know how you're doing. I've been with you all day. Got to see some great football on day two of the Senior Bowl. How's it feel being out here in Mobile?
It's been cool to meet a lot of people. I've been able to connect with some people that we used to be with over at the Blue Stable.
For sure.
So shout out to Marcus, shout out to Luke, shout out to Landon, who's at the Blue Stable now. Shout out to James Boyd, of the
Oh,
Athletic.
yeah, for
We've
sure.
spent a lot of time with those guys out there at Mobile watching practice.
Yeah.
It's been two really great days, weather-wise, great days of football. First day, a little warm. Your boy got burnt.
Oh, you definitely got burned.
I got burnt, the left side of my face, red. Had to buy that aloe. Rashad didn't have to worry about that, obviously.
No, for different reasons.
Rashad did not have to worry about getting burnt. But second day, a lot cooler. The sun still got out. It was still a really good day of football. Enough of a breeze to kind of make it feel good outside. And no rain. Thank the Lord, right? No rain in 2 days.
It was an overcast all day, and I was a bit afraid of that, but man, day two was good weather-wise. We got to see some great players, and we're going to talk about more of them throughout the show. But while we were watching players, Coach was apparently watching coaches, and they just announced, well, I believe it was Jonathan Jones that broke the news that Aaron Glenn will be advancing to round two and having his interview with the Colts. Tomorrow, I believe Thursday, they said will be the day. Brian Callahan is currently being interviewed by the Indianapolis Colts. So it's now up to eight guys that then made it to round two. This is not a very prestigious thing they're doing, right? They just don't, anybody can make it to round two, apparently. If you don't pull out yourself, then
I
you're in round
mean,
two.
we really should have expected this. I mean, they decided to cast a very, 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 very large net for
Very.
round one. 13, not counting Ben Johnson, who they did request, but decided to go back to Detroit before they could even get the chance to sit down with him.
Dan Quinn as well.
Dan Quinn as well. I mean, they have cast that net, man.
Yeah,
So from 13
it's
to
crazy.
eight.
It's crazy.
And I'll be honest with you, now that we're sitting at eight, I can't imagine them going 13-8-1. Can you?
No, I just don't see it either.
I'd love it. I'd love for this to be over. I know people listening are gonna be like, Destin, shut your dang mouth. Like they're gonna be so upset, but I just cannot imagine you bring eight people in and you're just gonna be able to like, that's the guy.
Right. You got to feel like if they're still reaching out to people to conduct second round interviews, then they don't have a clear cut guy right now. I know people want to know who's the favorite and different things like that, but it doesn't seem like they really have a clear cut favorite right now. And this is crazy, man. If it get cut, if it does go to round three, which is looking like it's trending in that direction, I ask you really quickly before we move on, does Jeff Saturday makes it to round three?
Maybe I'm being an optimist here. I don't think he does.
Really?
I think the round two, which was the only round that where Jim Irsay was going to get into the meeting, like that was always the plan. Round one, he wasn't in any interviews. I know there's been some different reports out there. Jim Irsay did not sit in on a single round one interview. Round two was the plan that Irsay was going to be in those. So he has been in those. Saturday was always going to get to that setting. I mean, there was never going to be a situation where Saturday did not get a sit down with Jim Irsay for this position.
Yeah.
That I feel like Irsay probably thinks he owes that to him. And
Now that he has it, you feel like.
I think Ballard, from everything I've heard, I think Ballard's running it, man. I think Ballard truly is going to get to choose these candidates and who's coming in. And I think Irsay's trying to be as hands off as possible without, but obviously he's going to be the one that writes the check
Of course,
in the
yeah.
end and sign it and dot the I's and all those things. So I think from this part's a guess, just because of the Glenn news is new. I think we can move to 2/3 candidates moving on to the final round. I'd probably lean 3. My guess on the 3 would be Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator for the Rams. There's a lot of buzz around Brian Callahan, offensive coordinator in Cincy, so I'm going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Elijah Evereaux as the defensive coordinator in Denver is the third one. I'd love for it to be Shane Steichen, but we've heard comments from about those three interviews.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like we personally have heard it. We have also heard about some other guys, but the public has been told
right
about those three guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks some volumes about what's getting out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those three are probably the ones that they have the highest interest in right now.
Yeah.
And obviously they flew out to see Shane Steichen this week, either yesterday or today. I believe it was supposed to be today.
And it was
yesterday.
Rumors that, yesterday. Well, when this drop, it'll be 2 days.
Yes, Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. And there was rumors that Jim Irsay might have not made that trip. We don't know if there's any certified validity to it, but there's just a couple of things that's floating around.
There are some little birdies saying that Jim Irsay did not make the trip, though.
Yeah, other obligations that, of course, is.
You know. It had to have included a guitar. Like, those obligations, 1,000%. Included a guitar or a stringed instrument. I'm willing to open the door here to other instruments.
Jim Irsay is not skipping a coach's meeting for a violin, okay? It's not.
But you don't know who that violin was owned by, okay?
That's touché.
If it was owned by a Beatles member, he's there tomorrow. What are you talking about? He's on his jet. He's sending Chris Ballard up over the coach in one of his little planes.
You know what? Let's get to these questions, man. Our first question is from Oathof Nug. His name is anyone but Saturday is funny as hell. We definitely had a question from him before, so we'll get straight to it. He says, since the offseason has been consumed by head coaching search and drafting a QB is soon to follow, what are some other positions Colts fans should look to in the draft? And maybe a few Senior Bowl standouts. We get to the standout part later on. Let's just focus on, what, in your opinion, is other positions that the Colts could be looking to target in the draft?
I'm going to go 2. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go corner. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of question marks there. I think Kenny Moore, obviously, at the end of the season, looked like a guy who could be on the way out.
Yeah.
Whether that's a trade or that's a release for cap savings, I think there's a real world where mm-hmm. Kenny Moore is elsewhere.
Okay.
And I think corner is a big one. Stephon Gilmore, great season, great free agency signing. Isn't getting any younger.
Yeah.
I love Isaiah Rodgers. I'm hoping he gets a very expanded role. But you got to add another corner to this room. The guys behind them, like when we saw some of these injuries go down, that's when a lot of some problems would come up on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to add a corner. Personally, I think you need to add an outside physical corner would be the route that I would be going.
So would you be in that situation looking to move Isaiah Rodgers into the slot?
I think Isaiah Rodgers' skill set in moving into the nickel, I feel like, I mean, Kenny Moore fans are going to hate this from me. I don't think we're going to be falling back steps here. If we send Isaiah Rodgers into the nickel, I think Isaiah Rodgers, his speed, his talent, I think he's a better coverage corner than Kenny Moore is.
I think so too. I just think you lose more in the run game and Kenny Moore's ability to blitz. I think those are where the areas will be lacking. But I think as far as Isaiah Rodgers' ability to play the slot, as a cover guy, I think you're right. You won't be losing much in that area because Isaiah Rodgers has shown more than enough ability to play either cornerback position. But what's your other one?
My other one's edge rusher. I'm sure that's one that – mm-hmm. Everyone's thinking. Yannick's a free agent. There's a lot of things up in the air. Yeah. Yannick would have been a 10-sack guy if it wouldn't came down to some of these injury situations. Obviously, ends up missing the last 2 games due to a strange injury, it felt like, in practice.
That was weird. They had all kind of rumors.
There was all kind of rumors
about how he got injured. But, well, that's interesting. You went with edge and then slot receiver, so – slot corner. I'm going to go with slot receiver. I just told on myself. I'm going to go with slot receiver with Paris Campbell being a pending free agent. You have no idea what direction he's going to go in. And I've been looking at a lot of these wide receivers out here in the Senior Bowl that's projected to be slot wide receivers at the next level. Some guys we'll talk about later. So I'll just mention that if Paris Campbell is not brought back, I think slot wide receiver can be something that the Colts target in the draft on day two or day three. And the other position I'm going to go with is a blocking tight end. I know they expect Ogletree to fill that void kind of, and we don't really have an idea if he can. I just think that's a lot to put on a guy that's coming back from such a serious injury and hasn't played a snap yet in the NFL. So it just behooves you to get some insurance, get a guy that's really that kind of tight end that you need. You have your move guy. You have Jelani Woods, who's kind of, you know, a tweener. He's a guy that blocks decently, but, you know, he's more of a threat in the pass game. You want a guy that can really get his nose dirty, real reminiscent of what Jack Doyle used to do for you. You missed that tremendously throughout this season. You wasn't even able to run the ball on the perimeter because of it this season. So I think that's important that you get that done. Those two positions is what I'm going to go with. There's a couple of others. Also, interior offensive line is something that they definitely have to look at addressing at some point. And, you know, there's a couple of things that this roster has holes, man. Don't be fooled and don't think that this team is closer than what they actually are. This team has holes. But luckily, they have the draft capital and they have a little money in free agency where they can fix it.
And I don't know if I'd say anyone's safe right now. I mean, no. More holes could be created.
Yeah. More probably will be.
Pretty easily. Not that those spots are just dandy already. There's just guys that can be gone. Ryan Kelly could be cut anytime.
Today or tomorrow.
Yeah, man. Who knows? Ryan Kelly could hang it up. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe.
Mo'Ally Cox can be cut.
Mo'Ally Cox will be cut. I mean, what?
You know what? Get to the question, man. I'm done with you. I'm done with you.
Next one here is from Nathan Allen Barnhart. I know you've asked questions before. I think you've changed your at, though, because this is a different at. So this is at RealNate018.
No, I don't think that was his at.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty positive he's changed his number, his at here.
So are we going to go with – we're going to rate this one?
Yeah, so at RealNate018.
I'm going to give it – some numbers at the end really upset me. I'm going to give it a 6. I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah, so I mean, 18, Peyton Manning. So I get where we're going here. I don't know what the 0 is. I don't know if it was just because RealNate18 was taken. But yeah, 6.5 is my name one. I'm going to drop it down to a 6 just because of the 0-18. The 0 being there really is what doing it. Because I could have sold myself on 18, Peyton Manning. I really could. Like, I could have sold that for you. But I'm going to have to keep it at a 6 for now. Question here, if the Colts believe Young is Houston's guy, assuming he isn't our guy, do they still talk to Chicago about 1 or even moving up to 2 or 3 instead?
Oh, that's a good question. I tweeted a little bit about this morning, and I was talking about the Colts and how the Colts feel about these guys. You know, I just happen to know from a little birdie that the Colts don't really have a big gap in how they see three of these quarterbacks. You know, three of them. Bryce Young is not a traditional Ballard guy. So I have no idea how he feel about Bryce Young in particular. But I know the other three guys, the Colts don't see it as a large gap the way some other people see it. So I don't think they would be willing to move up because they feel comfortable with their ability to get one of those guys. Now, a new coach, depending on who that is somebody that can change that. If he's just dead set on a guy and he feels like a guy would be better in his offense, then, you know, that can go in either direction. But I know at the time, the way they feel, they don't have – they're pretty much tiered the same because they feel like what they don't have with a guy right now, they can make up with some development. And they feel like the end product, it'll all balance itself out just based off the system that they're in. So – that's how I feel about that. I think the Colts are thinking just stay pat and get whatever guy that falls to them.
I firmly believe if the Texans in this situation, which you're offering me 2 and 3, so you're right. He's essentially saying the Texans have traded up to 1.
Right.
I'm a firm believer that if you talk to Chicago they end up deciding to trade to Houston, and they try to use that in a sense to double trade back with you.
Yeah.
You pull out of those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying the same price for two that I was going to have to pay for one. I don't care, like, if that made a lot of sense for them. I understand why they want to do it.
Right.
But if I'm Chris Ballard, I'm not operating in that fashion. Once the first quarterback goes off the board, I don't think the gap between the 2 through 4 is large enough for me to pay what it would cost to get to the one and get right. the quarterback one.
Right.
I think CJ Stroud is QB1 in this class. I've mm-hmm. said that multiple times on here. You guys have seen it on Twitter. Rashad is not a bit, isn't a believer in that, obviously.
That's cap, but, I believe he's QB1 for the Colts.
I'm saying in general.
Okay. Yeah.
But for the Colts in general, I would not operate that way. I would not trade to two if you don't get the one, because they're going to charge you the same price.
Yeah.
I promise you they will.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So, to me, you pull out of those negotiations. If someone trades up to two, then that happens. These talks happen every year where people are like, quarterbacks could go 1, 2, 3.
It never happens.
I really feel like there's only going to be one trade before 4. I really do. I think whoever trades up to 1 will trade up to 1.
Right.
It could be us, Houston, Carolina, Vegas, like who knows, all these other options. Mm-hmm. I think that trade happens. I don't think another trade happens before 4.
I don't think so either.
So I think at worst, the Colts are taking quarterback 3. If it's not Houston that trades up to 1, then obviously that's a quarterback. Houston takes a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You end up with the 3rd quarterback.
Just go look through the draft history. Quarterbacks don't go 1, 2, 3. It just don't happen, man. And I know y'all thinking worst case scenario. Of course, we can think and operate in that world. But Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are too good for people to just let them continue to slide down the board. It won't happen, man.
And the Bears are not going to be willing to miss out on those two guys.
Right.
Like the Carolina, like – all these other teams have other assets to do, so maybe Ryan Pace can get alerted that way. I just can't imagine they send it to anyone but Houston or Indy.
I think so, too.
Because those are the only two spots you can trade back to, and you are guaranteed one of those two guys.
Yep. And I think that's what will happen. I think that's the way it'll play out. Now, unless something changes the way the Colts feel about these QBs and they just fall in love with a guy during the process, then I think that's definitely a possibility of happening. I think they stay pat until that happens. Next question is from AR-15 Trooper. I got Vinny at Vinny Borelli 18. We've rated Vinny at multiple times. His question is, hey, fellas, just a couple of guys I have interest in for the Colts. I want to know your thoughts on the following guys. DeJuan Jones, what round would you project him going in? Andrew Voorhees, how has he looked? Jaden Reed, how has he looked? Is he a potential day 3 target? You wanna grab one of these guys?
So I'm definitely not gonna take the one that you want.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Because I'm a good person.
You are.
I'll start with DeJuan Jones. I mean, DeJuan Jones, day 1, really, really great day. I mean, DeJuan Jones' size showed out. There was one rep that I saw that he literally wasn't moved by a defender who got into him. It was a smaller defender. It's a very rotational base in these one-on-ones. And in the 5-on-5 where it goes one-on-one targets, which is one of the drills they run. And it was a straight up, the guy wasn't moved.
Yeah.
Big old dude. He's going to be a guy at tackle. I mean, to me, with answering the what round he's going in, there's a lot of things that can change this still. Yeah. A lot of draft process left. If I had to guess right now, he's going to be one of those guys that like, the amount of tackle need that's in the NFL right now, like it's going to be round 1, round 2.
I think it's day 2, early day 2.
Yeah, it's either day, early day 2, late day 1 to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he's at.
I think so. Longest wingspan in Senior Bowl history that DeJuan Jones recorded. I'll be honest, I haven't seen much of Andrew Voorhees at all. Did you get a chance to check him out?
Oh, hey, Voorhees is not a small dude either. I mean,
I didn't get a chance.
He's 6'6", like 330, 320.
That's what he weighed. That's what he did.
Roughly. I mean, I don't have the Senior Bowl numbers in front of me right now.
I actually do.
So. See, this is why Rashad is out here ready to go.
Yes, man. You know, I'm even better in person. I promise you, I am. Now, can I find his name?
I had to guess he's in the 70s, number
Yeah, I think he was
wise.
79, right? No, he's not 79. And I can't find him. So this is not good.
I know he's 6'6". He's 6'6", 320. He's a bigger dude. Over there watching, I mean, I haven't seen too much of him.
Is he here?
He may not be, because I swear I haven't seen him.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I passed it to you, because I'm like, I haven't seen much of, you know, I'm very.
He was slated to be here, but there's been a lot of people pull out this week, like the 6, 5 days before.
You know, I'm very familiar with him because he went to USC, obviously.
He is your boy.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar with his game, but I haven't been seeing him in the Senior Bowl. They said he was slated to be here, but I haven't saw him much.
But I mean, I can speak a little bit from the tape I've watched on him. I mean, I really like a lot of these day two, day three interior linemen in this class. I think there's a lot of guys with size. I think there's a lot of guys with multiple position ability. I think Voorhees is going to be a guard, personally. I've heard some people try and like talk about him being something else, trying to be a center. I think he's a guard. I think he's a guy that excels with power, and he's going to excel in the run game. Again, the draft position part's hard. I mean, he could fall anywhere from having a really good draft process and ended up in round two. I could see him being a guy who's like drafted in round four right now.
Yeah, a good thing. Good thing about the Andrew Voorhees part, he just asked how he looked. He didn't ask for a specific, you know, round or where you project him to go at. Let's just talk about Jaden Reed for a second. Jaden Reed, for those of you who are not familiar with him, he's a wide receiver from Michigan State. I believe he measured in at 5'10", almost 5'11". I think he's about, 5'10", 191 pounds, under the Ballard threshold. So I'm not really projecting him, the coach, to select him. I know you say he may be a day three target for the coach. Ballard doesn't draft receivers under 6 foot and under 200 pounds. Just doesn't happen. So Jaden Reed doesn't meet that threshold, neither threshold actually. But man, he's putting together a fantastic Senior Bowl. He's looked explosive, very, very shifty. He's out there making plays in one-on-ones and 11-on-11s, fielding punts. I think he's going to offer you some great special teams ability. Whoever he lands with, this guy he's lighting it up, man. I'm a big fan. That's why Destin said that I should be the one to talk about him.
He's only been talking about him all of Senior Bowl practices, during practices. This man has wanted to argue with some of the refs when they've called him out of bounds.
I mean, because he's catching touchdowns, referees are giving bad signals saying he was out of bounds. Clearly, he was in bounds. Jaden Reed, man, but seriously, he's a talented guy. Short area quickness, explosive route running ability, making catches with his hands, attacking the ball when the ball's in the air. I've just been impressed with him all around, and I think he may play himself into becoming a day two pick. I can see third round all over this guy, and I think he can be a playmaker working out of the slot at the next level with Paris Campbell potentially leaving in free agency. I know Destin even told me he can see him going over there with Frank Wright in Carolina, which is certainly a possibility. I can see a guy like Jaden Reed, if Ballard was to move off of his, you know, his parameters and step outside of his comfort zone a little bit and take a guy that's a little bit smaller, I can see him fulfilling the slot role in the NFL rather quickly. What we got next?
Yeah, I mean, everything Rashad said about Reed, I mean, I knew he needed to drill about him for a second for you guys, but Reed has looked good, man. I mean, Reed has showed out during one-on-ones. He hasn't let his below 6 foot stature affect him at all. And he's been probably, I mean, top two, maybe not two, even when I say that he has been really solid at creating constant separation.
Yeah. That's one more guy we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, there's another guy who's in that top two in that range too. Sure. It's one of those two, but both little guys.
Right,
by the way. Both little guys creating the separation out of the Senior Bowl so far. This next question here is coming from Mace with a little diamond emoji. We know Mace pretty well.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know if we've ever actually rated his ad on the show, though.
We never rated Mason's ad.
I don't know if he's ever submitted a question. Thanks for finally doing it, Mason.
We appreciate you, man.
I mean, his ad's a little close to my heart here.
Yeah.
We got at the Mason Roach.
The duh in front of it is going to sell Dustin. Dustin's going to give a bias at rating. I'm letting you know now, just because he's the Dustin Adams. I'm going to go with a 7. I like the arrogance that come with putting the in front of your at name. I support that, although I'm not the Shy McGinnis yet. I may trend in that area if I'm feeling real arrogant one day, but I'm not. But I'm going to give it a 7 because I like to see it.
Yeah, so 7 was exactly what I thought originally. 6.5 is my usual for first name, last name.
Mm-hmm.
I think the just adds that kind of confidence that we like to see, Mason. So welcome to the family. We're happy to have you. And the question is, who is the prospect you are most excited to watch? Secondly, who is someone that the Colts fans should be on the lookout for? Sleeper, under the radar prospect.
Okay, well, since Jaden Reese been talked about, we talked about him already. Let me go with a guy, Keon White from Georgia Tech. Edge, he's been explosive, man. He has been really explosive. I'm actually looking at the paper because I want to see what his size and what he measured in at, because that may land him on Ballard's radar. But let me talk about him a little bit. He went to Georgia Tech. He was an edge. He looked explosive winning inside and outside. He beat several tackles. He beat guards. He made plays all over the field. He has been one of the best pass rushers that I've seen today, winning with power and with speed. He's a guy that surprisingly has good bend for his size. And I've just been impressed with him, man. I really have. And I still haven't found his goddamn measurements on his paper. Maybe we have just the wrong roster. I'm convinced. I can't find anybody on here. I believe he's number 6. Yeah, it's number 6. Okay, so he's 6'4", 280.
So you answered the first part. You want me to answer the first part, and then you do the second part?
Yeah.
For the first part, so, like, who is someone I've been excited to watch? I'm going to go with a guy that I guess I didn't come in, like, super excited to watch. So he could apply for both, but I have a certain name I want to go for on the both.
Okay.
On the sleeper route. So I'm going to go a guy that's just – he's dominated one-on-ones for corners. I'm going to go Darius Rush out of South Carolina. You heard me earlier say that I think the Colts should be looking for that aggressive-type corner on the outside. I think Darius Rush has been fantastic during one-on-ones. He's been dominant. He's really worked the press coverage really well, made sure to get receivers off their step early. Guys have struggled against him in that route. And he's just had moments where he runs routes for guys.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been putting on a show during one-on-ones, and he's been one of my favorite corners to watch this week. He wasn't a guy that was on my radar to be a high day two pick before the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's playing himself into day two right now.
Yeah.
And I think day two is where the Colts need to be taking a corner. This is a solid corner class. He's got size, being 6'2", and playing with that aggressive nature on the outside. Rush has been impressive.
I have a good idea. Although I don't know if you'll go back to DBs for your sleeper under the radar guy, but I have a good idea of who you would like to name.
I will not be going back to DBs, but I do like who you're thinking about.
I know. I was wondering when you was going to mention him. I got a feeling
he doesn't fit what the Colts need. I'll say him. I mean, JL Skinner had a really good day one. Day two, he struggled a little bit.
Oh, he did.
But JL Skinner put on a show day one, in my opinion,
he did.
With his size and speed. Someone's going to get a really solid safety that's 6'4", and some people are projecting that he's going to run in the high 4.3s, and that's going to be crazy for whoever gets that guy. But I think the Colts are pretty set at safety right now.
Yeah, my sleeper under radar prospect is Nathaniel Tank Dell, University of Houston. Another smaller guy, 5'8", 163, I believe. Yeah, 5'8", 163. A guy that's, when I say electric, he is electric, man. There's clips of him going around getting about 8 to 10 yards worth of separation in a route. Like, he's that ridiculous. His change of direction is amazing. His hands is good. I see him going up, attacking the ball at the catch point. And you just like to see little guys, because so many of these drills is catered to just being able to guard these one-on-one drills. They're unfair for these DBs. I mean, trying to stay in front of a guy like Tank Dell or a guy like Jaden Reed that we mentioned earlier, it's almost impossible. If they have half the field to work with, they're going to create separation. Or you pretty much just playing a guessing game trying to stay in front of these guys. But Nathaniel Tank Dell from University of Houston has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of coming out here to the Senior Bowl. And it doesn't help, and doesn't hurt to have your college quarterback out here, Clayton Tune, throwing you the ball as well.
Yeah, so then going to the sleeper for me, I'm going to go edge rusher. Earlier I told you two spots of need for the Colts were corner and edge. A guy who I think – this isn't just Colts fans I think are sleeping on. If I see another mock draft – that has a team selecting Will Anderson in the third, fourth, fifth round, I'm going to lose my mind.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Will Anderson. Oh, Will Anderson. I apologize.
I know. I was saying what?
I got Will in my mind. I just think, okay.
All right.
Will McDonald Jr.
Yeah.
Will McDonald the fourth. So not just a junior. Will McDonald the fourth. I want to get it right for the guy.
You're very
high. People that have this man going, and I understand these draft machines, they don't really update the stock really well as they go. No shots at those. I mean, they're great systems. But
6'3", 240.
People are drafting this man right now.
Where?
In the third, fourth, fifth round.
Mm.
He's been dominant.
Yeah, he don't look like a day three guy.
He's been dominant the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
The second round, I'm going to be honest, I think the second round is his floor.
Like, really?
I don't think he falls out of the second round.
Wow.
Like, his speed, his power, like, he's putting on a show right now. And obviously, he's going to be a little bit smaller than some teams are going to be putting on the edge. So, it's going to take a certain team to draft him.
Yeah.
But I think people are sleeping on this kid. Like, I think he – and I'm really interested to see the Colts, how the Colts coaching staff maps out. Because if we need to add a little bit of a smaller guy, like – he's got it, man. Like, he's got that it factor in him.
I like him. And once you pointed him out to me and I started watching him, he moves well, man. Like I said, 6'3", 240, he carries that weight beautifully, beautifully. All right, let's get to our last question. It's from our guy, Nick Goro. Check. Is it?
Oh, he told us recently, didn't he?
I know, and I don't want to mess it up.
So it's Nick Check. Like, he said that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he told us the Goro part.
Yeah.
Like, I think he just told us how to pronounce the at. But yeah,
Nick Chick. Okay, so his question is, assuming Colts stay at 4, what position is most likely picked if they stay at number 36? Disclaimer, I think we all expect Ballard to trade back at 36. You want to go first? Because I'm going to use this to talk about somebody.
That... Yeah. I mean, I think if I was a betting man that the Colts would trade back. I agree. Right. Especially if they did a trading up from 4-1, then who knows what happened. But in this situation, you said the Colts stay at 4. So I'd put my money on corner. I think there's a lot of corners in this class, a lot of corners with size in this class. I think there's going to be two or three that can go in that high end of the second round. So I just think it works well for where the Colts need. It works well for where the Colts are drafting high in the second round.
Yeah.
High in every round. And to quote Chris Ballard, we earned that.
I believe corner is definitely has a high probability. But I'm going to go with interior offensive lineman just so I can talk about John Michael Smith. John Michael Smith has been the best offensive lineman at the Senior Bowl. What he has done at the center position and a guard position, he has Jason Kelce-esque traits and movability to his game. Like, seeing him out in space on a couple of those screens and watching him anchor down in one-on-ones, he's just not getting beat, man. And that kind of talent in the right system can make him a great player early on in his career. I think – in the right system, a system that uses him, that really weaponizes their center, such as the Philadelphia Eagles do in their run game, such as Kyle Shanahan does with his offense, out there in San Fran, man. I think John Mike Schmidt can be a really special player. And so if the Colts decide to go to interior offensive line and he's still available top of the second round, I think that's a no-brainer. I think it's a match made in heaven with what the Colts want to do with their run game. It just makes so much sense to me that would be a guy they target.
Hey, going quarterback center, I mean, is never a bad philosophy. Getting two rookies in, being able to grow together that way. Yeah. Obviously, this would be a sense that Ryan Kelly has been cut and or has retired, or maybe a team traded for him. I think that one's the least likely, to be honest. But
I thought of C.J. Stroud only having to put his hands under one man's butt for the entirety of his career can be.
Jim Irsay is going to want to hire that man one day.
Well, on that note, is there any other thing you want to mention as far as any particular player that you just wanted to mention that you didn't get a chance to talk about before we get up out of here? I think I got one, if you want to think. I'll talk about the Tulane guys since I'm from New Orleans, obviously. Tulane, I'm not biased to. They beat USC in the Cotton Bowl, so therefore all biasness went out the window when they beat my team. But they have two outstanding players here, man. The linebacker, Dorian, what's Dorian's last name? Is it Williams or Wright? I don't want to mess it up. He deserves to have his name. Williams, yeah, Dorian Williams. I thought so. From Tulane, he has been playing phenomenal, man. Flowing from sideline to sideline, making plays in 7-on-7s and 11v11s. He has been looking really good. And Tajay Spears, man, explosive runner. I think between the tackles is where he'll surprise a lot of people. We know about his ability to bounce the ball outside and catch screens and make big plays, make people miss. What he's been doing in between the tackles, it has been eye-opening. And I think he's solidifying himself as a day two pick and one of the top running backs that's going to be available. Shout out to McIntosh as well. For Georgia, he's been playing well at running back. The running backs is a really good group, man. The running backs have really been good. Chase Brown, Cameron Peoples from Appalachian State. Those guys, watching them do those pass protection drills has been a bit rough for them, though, trying to pass protect these linebackers. But other than that,
that's a mean drill, bro.
It is. It's just so not fair for running backs to have to pass protect these linebackers coming with a full head of steam. It's not fair, but it's life, man. It's getting them ready for what they're going to see at the next level. You know, pass protection gets you on the field on third down. So that's so vital to what the running back needs to succeed. Anybody you want to mention, like I said, before we get out?
Yeah, I've really been impressed with Anthony Johnson Jr. out of Virginia. Mm-hmm. Another corner. I'm feeling my bias of my love of corners. But Anthony Johnson out of Virginia, he shout out to the Senior Bowl and to shout out to Zebra Motion Works. They've been doing a lot of different next-gen type stats and different things for the Senior Bowl and track and speed on the field. Mm-hmm. Anthony Johnson was tracked as the second fastest defender this week so far.
Really?
At a 19.37 miles per hour on the field. Dude's moving. He's not as aggressive as the other corners that I've been mentioning. He has very mature hand movement. He really uses his hands well as a corner right now. Not a guy that I think would get drafted and be flagged a lot early on. And I really like his hip discipline. I feel like he keeps his hips centered on where he needs to go. He doesn't oversell himself very often. I think where he needs to work a little bit is going to be in his footwork and not trying to retreat too quickly, using that speed a little bit too much off the line and trying to get better in that light. But he's done well here. I feel like he's shown that instincts well. He's ran routes for guys multiple times during those one-on-ones. So he's another guy that's impressed me.
Yeah, man. And before we get out of here, like I said, I could talk about these guys all day. I wanted to mention Dontavian Wicks. He's having an outstanding Senior Bowl, and he is a guy that the Colts could potentially target.
Look up his name on Twitter. You'll see a highlight that's going to make you want to play. Yeah, I promise. Look it up.
My goodness. Dontavian Wicks. For the people that don't know, I'll spell his name out for you. Where is it? Dontavian, Dontavian, and Wicks. 6'1 and a half, 212 pounds, physical guy, great hands, and he's able to create separation as a bigger guy. You know, he's had no problem getting separation. That's the video Destin is alluding to. He He created max separation, was what I said when I quote tweeted it in one.
I would love for someone to measure it. I would love for someone to figure out how much separation was created there.
That was ridiculous. I even asked about him on a podcast a year ago. Me and Destin got a chance to talk to one of the Virginia beat writers. Shout out to Greg. I know Destin caught up with him earlier today at the Senior Bowl. Dontayvion Wicks, man, he's been on my radar for a while, and it's nice to see him come out here and have a productive first 2 days so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen tomorrow, man. Although the weather might not allow us to enjoy it, I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah, prayers up there's no rain when you guys are listening to this in Mobile, Alabama tomorrow, and we get a full 3 days of Senior Bowl practice where we don't got to move anything inside.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. This has been another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shad and Destin. We will see you guys next week.